Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure BioSpeed Clean Vacuum Cleaner. Save $200 on this powerful vac that doesn't have a cord and is bag-free. To save an additional $20 with free shipping, put in code word HOWIECLEAN at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Following is a public service message from Pathological Liars Anonymous.
Could you answer the question, do you have an estimate of the property damage during the summer riots?
I know that we had one night of rioting in the district.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, that's it, ticket.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Georgia Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock told NBC News, quote, I have never been opposed to voter ID.
With these unnecessary and unjustifiable voter ID laws, which constitute, in my estimation, a poll tax.
He can't face that it was his failure, and he creates a lie. A big lie.
When you tell one lie, it leads to another. When you tell two lies, to cover each other.
Then you tell three lies. Oh, brother, bring trouble up to your ears.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Oh, we think we got the phone lines back working again. Sorry about that. And we'll take some calls after the chump line about welfare and whether or not this is a good plan for America to put everybody on the dole. I think the answer is pretty clear, isn't it? If you think about it for more than 10 seconds and you're not a Democrat hack politician who's looking to just run the country down while ensuring your perpetual reelection. 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Now it's time for the chump line.
Hopefully, BLM protesters will at least tip the Cabana Boys today when they start burning Bentleys at the Spouting Rock Beach Club.
That's the official name of Bailey's Beach Club, where Sheldon Whitehouse likes to linger among his own blue-blooded types. The club was founded in 1897. They say in the South, the Democrats were starting Jim Crow. In Rhode Island, in Newport, Rhode Island, the Democrats were starting Bailey's Beach Club. For the same reasons. To escape the hoi polloi.
Hello. Thank you for calling Spouting Rock Beach Association in Newport, Rhode Island. If you're white, press 1. Other racially exclusive clubs in Rhode Island, press 2. To donate to White House or Senate, press 3.
I love the fact that now his office is saying, well, they're not racially exclusive. But when the reporter asks him, are there any non-whites in the club? He says, they're working on it. They're working. He was asked about this for the first time in 2006, and 15 years later, they're still working on it. They're looking for someone who's not melanin impaired. They're probably even looking for someone who doesn't go to a wooden church. Rhode Island is 70% Catholic, and they can't find any Catholics to join the club. It's an amazing thing. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. This week, reminding you that just like COVID, the need for blood donations never takes a holiday. Right now, New England is facing an unprecedented shortage of all blood types, and the need has never been greater. Donating blood is what needs to be incentivized.
Howie, Sheldon Whitehouse calling. I shouldn't have to respond to a shanty Irishman like you, but you're spreading scurrilous rumors. I'll have you know that the Bailey Beach Club is no longer all white. We just hired a black janitor.
I could feel it in my New England Irish bones that Sheldon Whitehouse headed in for Brett Kavanaugh for more reasons than were readily apparent. And now that I know he's a member of Bailey's Beach Club, I understand why. You know, he's... I wonder, you know, when his family lived in Massachusetts, do you think they were part of the mob that burned down the Ursuline Convent in Charlestown back in the day? Probably.
I don't know if it's boofed or boofed. How do you pronounce that?
That refers to flatulence. We were 16.
Okay.
I think I mentioned this yesterday, but guess what? He and John Kerry and Robert Mueller, they all went to the same prep school, St. Paul's School in Concord, New Hampshire. Boy, was that a pervy place. You know who was a teacher there? Gary Studs. Another one of those blue bloods.
The left's idea is to give away the store, at least until the election in 2024. Playing Santa Claus will help their cause. At least that's the plan in their quest for four more.
Oh, I think they're more concerned about 2022 first. But again, if they lose the vote tonight on the filibuster and on D.C. statehood and on most importantly on S1, as it's called now, the fix the election permanently bill, they're going to blame it on Republican racism when they get swamped in 2022. All that white supremacy will be coming to the polls.
Kerry served in Vietnam. Would he serve coffee?
This is John Kerry reporting for duty. D-O-O-D-Y.
I was against voter ID laws before I was for them. That's a twist.
Yeah, we have that. We have the cuts here. I don't. Let's see if it's maybe a little long here. Here's Warnock. Let's just play a little bit of Elliot Warnock, Raphael. I'm thinking of another Elliot, another different guy. No, Raphael Warnock, the guy who ran over his wife's foot. Remember that? That didn't hurt him in Georgia, apparently, in the election. But this is Raphael Warnock flipping on the voter ID. Cut 17.
Georgia Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock said that he's very encouraged by Joe Manchin's proposals and told NBC News, quote, I have never been opposed to voter ID.
With these unnecessary and unjustifiable voter ID laws, which constitute, in my estimation, a poll tax.
Dealing with these voter ID laws, this is not about voter verification. This is about voter suppression.
All of these voter suppression laws saying we've got to have voter ID laws.
This is Jim Crow in new clothes.
Did they get those new clothes from Governor Northam in Virginia? Did they get his Klan outfit, or did they get Senator Byrd's Klan outfit as their new clothes?
Free rent, free phone, free money, free food. Let freedom ring.
Yes. The hungry masses yearning to be free and get lots of free stuff, too. They want more free stuff than they are yearning to be free. As long as they get to free stuff, the free yearning to be free is kind of secondary.
Freedom!
Please, this is not politics. Read my teleprompter. No new taxes.
I like that. Read my teleprompter. If only he could read his teleprompter.
I would like to bid $1 million for this finger painting by Hunter Biden. And this has almost nothing to do with the $1 billion government contract my company will soon receive.
Jay from Chelsea says, so how old was Hunter Biden when the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum was robbed? I don't think anybody would dispute him getting a lot of money for getting those paintings back. But, those paintings were a lot, the Vermeer especially, it was a lot more artistic than those dabbings that he does. 614 says, Hunter Biden's new artist name is Norman Griftwell.
How many illegals cross the Rio Grande El Sand before they say it's a mess? The answer, my friend, is don't ask CNN. The answer is don't ask CNN.
Yeah, everybody's got to cut the cord. That's the only way to get rid of CNN and MSNBC. You know, they talk about their ratings are going down. It doesn't really matter as long as they're getting that payoff every month from Time Warner and Chi Comcast and all the rest of the cable companies. We all got to cut the cord.
Loving. Can you believe that deplorable Genghis Carr claiming that Karen Polito was complimenting him? We all know that because he was a bridge player, his Deerfield nickname was Suze, not Coos. The only Coos was legendary Boston Celtic quarterback Bob Cousy. So let's not get silly here.
This is personal, because the Coos is one of us.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. I won't print your picture with the soon-to-be jailbird state rep David Nangle for a week because you were so kind to me in Worcester last Friday.
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
All right, that's it for the chump line. Today, the Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message anytime between the hours of 1 and 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time every weekday afternoon. If you didn't hear your message just now, we have a second Chump Line of all the messages that didn't make the one we just played. It's called Chop Chumps, the second Chump Line of the day. We post Chop Chumps around 7 o'clock Eastern every weeknight, and you can find Chop Chumps wherever you get your Howie Carr Show podcast. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. This week, reminding you that, just like COVID, the need for blood donations never takes a holiday. Right now, New England is facing an unprecedented shortage of all blood types, and the need has never been greater. Donating blood is what needs to be incentivized.
Please, this is not politics. Read my teleprompter. No new taxes.
Joe Biden, he's really, Biden says guns are to blame for the crime surge. Oh, that's what they always say, right? It can't be Democrat voters that are to blame for the crime surge. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return after this brief commercial break.
I could still teach you a few, kid. You're just a tin horn thug and you always will be. You haven't got the guts to be anything else.
The Howie Carr Show.
All right, I like these. I like the new bumpers. Photograph. Today's poll question is brought to you by Gold Co. Stagflation is making a comeback, in case you haven't noticed. If your car's been in the garage for the last 4 or 5 months, maybe you haven't noticed this. Stagflation is making a comeback. Go to goldco.com/Howie Carr to request your free IRS loophole guide and learn how you can protect your wealth and take control of your retirement. That's goldco.com/Howie Carr. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Is free money good or bad for most people?
It's bad. It's bad. I have no question about that.
94% say it's bad.
All right. I want to play a couple of cuts here and give you some updates on some stories. We talked yesterday about the quote-unquote terrorist attack against the gay pride parade in Fort Lauderdale and how the mayor said that it was a terrorist attack against the LGBT community. He's the first gay mayor of Fort Lauderdale.
Very fake news.
Hardly an accident. It was deliberate. It was premeditated and was targeted against a specific person, meaning the Deborah Wasserman Schultz, or Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz, as Rush used to call her. But it wasn't. It turns out that the guy who hit the two members of the gay men's chorus was also a member of the gay men's chorus. And they put him in the truck and we're going to let him lead the parade because he was, you know, fading. He's like 77 years old and it's a very hot day. So they said, you go in the truck and lead the parade. And as so often happens, he confused the brake and the gas pedal, and he ran over, and he hit another guy who was, and he hit two guys that were friends of his. The driver was wearing a Fort Lauderdale Gay Men's Chorus t-shirt and had a large pride flag on his 2011 white Dodge Ram.
I can't wait for Joy Behar to get a hold of this story.
You think she's going to put her foot in her mouth again? Then we have,
seems to happen on an almost weekly basis.
I know. And you remember, she's the one who got caught with the blackface, but nothing happened to her. Just like nothing, because she's a lib, just like Governor Northam. Nothing happened to him. He admitted it, that he had worn blackface on multiple occasions. And then he was explaining to the press conference how, you know, you had to watch out because black shoe polish was hard to get off your face. I remember when I used to use that when I was a kid, it was hard to get off my finger. I never wanted to put it on my face for some, I don't know. That's just me.
After they said penetration in the end zone, they lost me.
She was talking about the defensive end who came out as gay from the Las Vegas, formerly Oakland Raiders. The mayor of a small town in Colorado unilaterally removed the Pledge of Allegiance from the town board's agenda for all future meetings, claiming the move was required because of the divisiveness it creates. This is the Silverton, Colorado. I think it's in the red area of Colorado. Shane Furman is his name. Due to direct and indirect threats, inappropriate comments in and out of public meetings, and the general divisiveness this is creating in our community, we will not be doing the Pledge of Allegiance during Town of Silverton Board of Trustee meeting. So they opened everything. The meetings are open up again. No more Zoom meetings. So they call on one of the local residents who's not a member of the board to speak, as part of the public meeting. And this is what happened. Cut 14.
I'd like to make one comment. I'd like to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I'm sorry, but this dude's a crime. The United States of America, and to the Republic on which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd note that that's out of order. We did have a one-strike policy. I'm not going to ask everyone to leave tonight, but if something like that happens again, we will. And tackling and other things like that are also out of order. So please don't ask me to make people leave.
Shut up. So I guess this is in the district of Lauren Boebert, you know, the new Republican who owns the restaurant and that says it has a gun motif in it. And she said, she put out on social media, it's hard to put into words what kind of anti-American disgrace this is. Mayor Furman should resign and purchase a one-way ticket to China, where he won't have to worry about hearing the pledge. She's pretty good. She's pretty good. She's the one, remember, when she was sworn in, she had her family in there, and she was showing them around the Capitol. And then Cohen, the guy from Memphis, the one white member of the Congressional Black Caucus, the chicken man, guy dressed up like a chicken. He said, I saw Boebert in there, and she was bringing in members of the militias and the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers to show. She was scouting out the Capitol. It was like her aunt and her parents and a couple of her kids. Cohen was making it out like they were white supremacists. Oh, 844-500-4242. We come back. We'll take some calls about free money. Before we were so rudely interrupted, that's what we were talking about. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Speaking of St. Paul's School, where Sheldon Whitehouse went and John Kerry and et cetera, et cetera. I wrote a column when the sexual harassment report, I guess, or sexual abuse report came out from St. Paul's School. I wrote a long column for Breitbart because I couldn't get everything into the Herald because it was too gross and there was too much stuff. So we just tweeted out the column, 40 years of sex abuse cataloged at Elite New Hampshire Prep School of Kerry Mueller, to which I would now add, comma, White House. White House was a little behind them. He would have been, I think, about like 1973, and I think Kerry and Mueller would have been 61 or 62. The late U.S. Rep. Gary Studs, a lot of Democrats were in there. The first openly homosexual member of Commerce taught at the school for years before abruptly resigning from the faculty in the early 1970s. A decade later, Studs was censured by Congress for having an affair with a 17-year-old male page after plying him with vodka and cranberry juice, a Cape Codder, while on a foreign trip. He represented Cape Cod, so he was loyal to his district. I didn't know at the time, but he was the guy described as faculty 20. I later found out when some of the victims of these predators filed lawsuits and they identified Studs. Studs once molested a male student in the front seat of his car and allegedly held dorm rooms in the nude with all of the boys also nude in his on-campus apartment. This is the place where White House and Kerry went. There also was a guy there named the Toad. And Toad apparently molested multiple generations of the school's upper-class males. One younger alumnus told his family at a Thanksgiving dinner about his experiences with Toad, and the table went silent. And then this is a quote. The table went silent, and then my father said, "That's okay. I had the same experience." And this is where Sheldon Whitehouse, John Kerry, Robert Mueller, and so many others went to school. One of the remember Nicholas Katzenbach? He was the last attorney general under LBJ. His nephew was a guy named Larry Katzenbach. In 1975, one St. Paul School alumnus reported Katzenbach pulled his pants down around his ankles, faced student 24, and, well, I'll just go. If you want to read this, you can see the background of Senator Whitehouse and Secretary Kerry and Special Counsel Mueller and all the rest of them, the kind of schools they went to. 844-500-4242. Bruce, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, Howie, those guys are all awesome, you know, but in their minds. But oh. I want to just tell you, it was the greatest thing that I could ever experience was to meet you personally, finally. And I took a knee. You saw me take a knee. But it was a Templar knee, Howie. I was being knighted, not I taking know. A knee like Colin Kaepernick, whatever his name is.
Kaepernick.
Anyways, Kaepernick. Howie, it was the greatest thing, and you have a very the best people around.
Thank you. And you like me even you respect me even though I didn't go to St. Paul School.
Listen, Howie. I'm a WASP. I'm a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Yeah.
My guys get married.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. 844-500-4242. Rommel, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rommel.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Howie. I was a teacher in the Chicago Public Schools. And one day, one of my juniors came up to me to tell me she was pregnant. And I knew she already had two children.
Ugh.
And I said, "How can you afford this?" And she said, "Honey, the more you have, the more you get."
I know, Rommel. And that's why they changed the laws. You know, they in some states, I think New Jersey was one of them, they said, you know, once you have a second kid or a third kid out of wedlock, you don't get any more money. And that's the way it should be. You know, you shouldn't be paying people to produce more dependence on the people who are behaving responsibly. And again, the Democrats, they want to go back to the old system. They like the old system. It was advantageous for increasing their voting roles. And people relied on government, so they were going to vote for Democrats. 844-500-4242. Remember the shoplifter in San Francisco last week that you know, he took the huge garbage bag into the Walgreens, and he was emptying out all the cosmetics, these expensive aisles, and then some anchor on CBS said, well, this reads like an act of desperation.
That reads also as an act of desperation. I mean, you're not getting rich off of what you take from a Walgreens. You're getting probably something you need.
But again, he was grabbing stuff that he could resell, cosmetics. And so anyway, he was arrested over the weekend, finally. His name is Gene Lugo-Romero. And police officers followed him into another drugstore on Haight Street in the Haight-Ashbury district, I guess. And they found him clearing shelves of cosmetics and placing the merchandise into a duffel bag. So he was in the same aisle. He just switched from a garbage bag to a duffel bag. I guess, you know, a duffel bag is more, is more durable. I guess you can probably stuff more into it. After arresting him, officers determined the stolen goods were collectively worth approximately $978, police said. Officers had been looking for Lugo Romero in connection with numerous investigations, police said. Lugo Romero was suspected of committing thefts from merchants in the Northern Mission districts and was recently caught on camera during a brazen shoplifting incident.
I'm shocked.
Police said they were able to link him to six prior shoplifting incidents from May 29th through June 17th. Five of the six previous thefts took place at the same Walgreens location at 300 Go Street. How many Walgreens are left, do you figure, in San Francisco? I thought they closed 17 of them, but this must be the last one left. It probably won't be lasting longer.
I never thought Walgreens and Howard Johnson's would be similar in standing.
The company, Walgreens, said that they, like other companies, quote, have seen a dramatic increase in shoplifting incidents and losses from shoplifting since California sentencing laws changed from 2014 to make all theft below $950 a misdemeanor when it was previously a wobbler, either a felony or a misdemeanor based on prosecutorial discretion. Well, does anybody think that DA in San Francisco, who's the child of a terrorist, weatherman terrorist, you think he's going to prosecute this guy? Hell no. By the way, Gene Lugo Romero's mother did make a comment to the press in San Francisco.
He's a good boy, a very good boy.
Thank you. Connie, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Connie.
Hi, Howie.
Hi.
Hi, thank you so much. You do a wonderful job and all of those with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I've been listening to this discussion of all the government handouts, like they're handing out candy. And if you look at it this way, we know that from the 1800s, 1900s, early 1900s especially, many thousands of immigrants came to America. They came from Italy, from Greece, Germany, Ireland. And what do we not have in the inner cities now? We do not have Greek slums, Italian slums, Irish slums, German slums. And the reason is there was no welfare state awaiting these people.
I know. You also, another thing you didn't, you have all these people that are coming in, illegal aliens. They don't have to undergo the kind of medical testing that they used to have to go undergo at Ellis Island. That's what Ellis Island was all about, quarantining people to make sure they weren't bringing in any infectious diseases. Now, if you test positive for COVID-19, NBC News is reporting that they just put them on planes. They don't care. Just ship them right into the, give them a free cell phone, give them a debit card paid for by the taxpayers, and just send them off to the U.S. And there was no welfare in those days. And you know, in Massachusetts, as late as 1967, the cities and towns paid for the welfare. And what that meant was that, you know, if somebody down the street from you was decided to, you know, have illegitimate children and the husband ran off, you were personally, as a taxpayer, picking up the tab for that woman or guy, if it was a layabout guy. And so the towns and the cities kept a very tight rein on welfare because it was coming out of their property taxes. And in 1967, they changed the rule. The state took over welfare. It was a complicated thing when Kevin White, it's too long to go into, but it was a political deal. And all of a sudden, the cities and towns weren't responsible for the welfare. The state was. And so it was like nobody was really responsible for the welfare payment. So the welfare rolls exploded between the Great Society and the nationally and the way they changed the laws in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So it just got totally out of control. And they were finally starting to get a handle on it, you know, after the Welfare Reform Act of 1995, then it kind of backslid under Obama, you know, because he wanted to spare people job lock, as Nancy Pelosi put it. But it was under Trump, the unemployment rate was down. The more people than ever were working, and the Democrats were just going crazy. They want to get people dependent. That's the only way their politics can survive, is with a dependent underclass. The Americans are leaving the underclass, have been leaving the underclass until very recently. And so that's one reason why they're importing a new underclass from the third world, a new group of people that are going to take generations to get assimilated. And again, it's hard to get assimilated if you come into the country and the first thing you do is go on welfare. You get addicted to it. And again, that's the whole thing with these payments, whether it's the $300 per month per kid, or the $300 a week for unemployment, or any of this other stuff. It's they're just trying to hook everybody. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He only steals from the very best.
The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
Howie Carr returns after this. Got hate mail?
You bloated idiot! You stupid fat head, you!
Send it to Grace at HowieCarShow.com.
844-500-4242. When I was finally able to name Gary Studs, because his name was in, he's dead now, but he was named in the lawsuit that was brought against the school by some of the alumni who'd been molested, I called up the... I guess it's the NOAA, National Oceanic, whatever it is. They're in charge of what's known as the Gary Studs Stellwagen Bank National Marine Sanctuary. You know, they keep tearing down all these statues, and they keep renaming high schools, like in Pittsburgh, that's named after some archbishop that was accused of at least covering up, if not engaging in perv activities himself. How do they not rename the Gary E. Studs Stellwagen Bank National Marine Sanctuary? I mean, I called him and I specifically pointed this out, and some people have noticed this, like the guy who just reminded me of it, texted in 508. How could this guy is credibly accused, and no one's really denying that he was a major league pervert at one of the nation's leading prep schools. And if you want to read the story about the report that came out of St. Paul's 4 years ago, you can. And other famous Democrats who graduated from the posh school with Episcopalian roots include, I mentioned Sheldon Whitehouse, and the late Michael Kennedy, son of Robert Kennedy. Remember him, Michael Kennedy? He was doing the babysitter, and the babysitter's mother too, both. Yeah, he was kind of a strange guy for St. Paul's. He died by skiing into a tree in Aspen in 1997. Other famous St. Paul's alums include former New York City Mayor John V. Lindsay and the late TV actor Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., also known as Inspector Erskine from the FBI on Sunday nights on ABC. 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Speaking of the unemployment bonuses, John Kennedy had another colorful line. The senator from Louisiana is talking about how the unemployment bonus of $300 a week, whether it was affecting the job market or not. Cut 21.
Well, let me be sure I understand, Steve. The White House is saying that the rich unemployment benefits have nothing to do with
nothing.
That they must believe you can land on the sun if you go at night too. I mean, that's preposterous. I don't know anybody in America who believes that. I mean, people respond to incentives.
Exactly. You know, again, it's economics 101. You get more of what you subsidize and you get less of what you tax. And so now we're subsidizing unemployment and making it easier for people not to work. And guess what? People aren't going back to work. What a shocker, huh? What a shocker. 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And do we have any calls up or not? There's nothing here. Okay. Let's play this is another botched joke by Kamala Harris. I mean, this makes no sense to me, but she apparently thought she was going to get a real applause line here or some laughter. Cut one.
It was so inspiring to meet the children of our community. And Ross, you have approached your work, so many of us, with the same spirit, which is that the children of the community are the children of the community.
Huh? God. 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show, 413. My first apartment in Greenfield, Mass. Was in the late 1970s at what used to be the Poor Farm. We used to joke that it still was because we were all young and making very little money. When we got out of college, a bunch of us all lived together. You know, we all rented a house together, and none of us were making much money, but, you know, we were all getting by. I'm just trying to figure out how much money we were making. I mean, if we'd have had two of those $300 checks, that would have been more than everybody was making. And we weren't doing that bad. 844-500-4242. Ephraim was also Stuart Bailey from 77 Sunset Strip. Yes, he was. But I think more of us in our generation remember him as Inspector Erskine. You know who was the last producer of 77 Sunset Strip, don't you? Jack Webb, Dragnet fame. I'm Howie Carr.